just pick up the phone, have as many conversations as you can, and be as helpful as you can to as many people, because people will remember that and they will then refer you business.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry Sales Professionals, Property Managers and Leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Joining me today is Place Bulimba's business development and leasing manager and a much requested guest. Welcome to the show, Lisa Perusa.
Thank you so much for having me, Samantha.
It's amazing to get you on because, as we were just talking a minute ago, like I often ask some of our course participants and our pro members and things like that who they'd like to hear from on the podcast, and your name has just continually come up over and over again. So you're quite famous, and I'm really glad to have you here finally.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad to be part of it.
So first of all, let's get the obvious out of the way. COVID-19, how has that been going for you up in Brisbane as a BDM? Has that changed the way that you operate at all?
It has changed the way that we operated during COVID when we were at the peak of the lockdown in terms of how we facilitated inspections, because we could only do one-on-one. Everything had to be sanitized after we'd been through the property. But we changed the way we did things by offering the video calls, either a live video streaming at the inspection, or we went through and did videos prior and emailed those out to prospective tenants. But in terms of how it affected us, I think we've been very fortunate in the demographic of where I work, inner city Brisbane, that my rentals market wasn't affected too badly in terms of we still had great tenant inquiry. We still listed a lot of properties and leased many properties during the peak of COVID. So we've been very fortunate.
Yeah, interesting. Like a lot of people have said that, is that it hasn't kind of slowed them down in any way. I mean, things have changed and been a little bit different, but it hasn't affected the overall volume.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I think at first when all the media speculation about what was going to happen, then the government changing rules and regulations, people were very nervous about how the market would perform and how tenants would react. But yeah, we were just very, very lucky. People still need to move no matter what the circumstances. And I guess our volume in terms of properties that we listed, new managements coming onto the market, those statistics from year in, year out didn't change at all. We were just as busy as we've always have been.
Interesting, but it's just slightly more challenging to get things done than how we used to.
Yes, very long hours. I think with those one-on-one inspections rather than facilitating one open house, that was very time consuming. But I also found that the tenants that we were working with, they weren't time wasters. They were really keen on the property. They weren't looking at 20 properties. They'd had maybe a list of 1 to 5 and they needed to move pretty much straight away. So good connections with lots of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And you yourself, over your career, you've listed and leased, I think I saw a number, like nearly 2,000 investment properties.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's a lot.
It is a lot of work. Yeah. I can't remember every single one of them, but it's definitely close to that 2,000 mark now.
Yeah, and you've recently become a partner at Place Bulimba as well.
Yes, I have. That happened late last year. I've been at Place now for 13 years. I'm really proud of the company and the team and now to be more heavily invested as a partner moving forward. It's a great opportunity that they've presented to me, and I love what I do. So it's just sort of solidifying my career progression.
Yeah, let's rewind back a little bit. How did you get your start in real estate? Did you choose real estate or did real estate choose you?
I chose real estate. My background is I'm originally from the UK and I studied art and design in England for 3 years, and then circumstances brought me to Australia and I used to paint. I'm very creative, but that didn't really earned me a huge amount of money. And I thought, what career can I do that's still going to be quite creative? And I love architecture and photography. And I looked at all these beautiful homes and I thought I'd love to be part of selling real estate. It looks exciting and fun. And I did my course with the REIQ and absolutely loved it. And then applied for, I really wanted to work at Place. I think they are leaders within the industry within Brisbane. I picked this agency as the one that I wanted to work for. So I started my career over 13 years ago. And initially, I started working with two of the top sales agents in our sister office, which is over in Ascot across the river in Brisbane. I was there for 18 months and I was assisting them with everything from listed to sold. It really got me sort of like a run on the ladder, I guess, in my career. And then an opportunity came on board for business development within that Ascot office because they didn't have a rent role of their own. They were kind of sort of bouncing between here, which is my office now in Bulimba. So I took that opportunity, but my goal was always to work out of this office. This is our biggest office. It's the flagship office. And an opportunity came along about 9 or 10 years ago for me to head BDM here. And I've been here ever since. Absolutely love it. Great team, great environment, great culture.
You know, the popularity of BDMs has grown like over the last few years. Like if you went into property management, it was, you were a property manager and you did some business development on the side, but now we're really seeing the growth of being a BDM as a career. Why did you choose that? Because, you know, like you could have easily gone back into sales or something like that. So what made you decide to stay as a career BDM?
Two reasons. One is that not many people choose it as a career. And when I looked at how successful I was becoming and then saw the other agencies around me and how they would have a revolving door of staff in leasing and business development and property management, I really got a niche in the market. So for me to go back into sales, I feel that I've had just as much success, if not more, as staying as a BDM because I've been able to grow that success. There's nobody else in my immediate area that's been in the industry more than 2 to 4 years. It is a revolving door. And I know traditionally principals would think that you would go from BDM to sales, but there's very few people that I know that have made that transition. They've either gone into different industries altogether or stayed within the property management sector.
Interesting. And you've done an amazing job at building a brand within a brand. So, you know, like people do know Lisa Perusa from Place. And I think you've done an amazing job at building both brands. How did you set about that in the beginning? So did you say to yourself, I need to build my brand out there as a BDM, or what was your thinking?
So when social media was just people posting pictures of their families and their holidays, I started to see things slowly changing and people posting more about what they were actually doing within their work environment. So I think in 2012, I got on that bandwagon and set up my own Facebook page for Lisa Perusa Property Management. And it sort of grew from there. I was probably one of the first people to use that space more in relation to BDM and property management over sales. So I grew a following quite quickly. And then from there, you know, I expand through my LinkedIn and then through Instagram. And it's just kind of grown from there. And I think it's really valuable for anybody in real estate to use those platforms to project yourself further to the marketplace.
In the beginning, how long would you spend on social media posting and putting your brand out there?
Not as much as I do now. It actually forms quite a large part of the week because people are connecting with you more through social media now. I'd say in the beginning, very infrequently in terms of, you know, maybe I'd post something 1 to 5 times a week, but now I'm trying to post things 2 to 3 times a day and then responding to those messages and thinking of new things to post and to be remain relevant within the marketplace and within my space. So during COVID, that's been easy to do because there's lots of information that you need to get out there to the public, to your vendors, to your potential tenants. But it's definitely forms part of my weekly, monthly and yearly business plan to use that social media element.
And I'm guessing you use it all to its fullest as well. So with video and different types of posts and things like that, like what would your most popular posts with your followers be?
Most popular posts are definitely video and when it's more informative content. So you can go into the back end through your Instagram account if you've got it set as a business page rather than a personal page, and you can actually see the engagement on your posts, the genders of people that are looking, the age group, the time of day that they engage. It's actually really interesting to see those statistics. So definitely the videos get more sort of screen time, I would say.
And what sort of things do you talk about on the videos that you do?
Everything from what I've recently listed or leased. I did a post yesterday, which was really significant because it was actually a really sad story. I took a property over from another agency, which they had completely neglected the property, and the poor owner was in tears and so desperate. And she's based in New South Wales. She couldn't come up and look at the property. And we went in there and we fixed the maintenance. We got new photos taken. We remarketed and we leased it yesterday, which is great. But that post in itself has got a huge amount of comments. I've had people reach out to me saying, thank you for sharing that because it's really valuable information.
So it's the story behind.
Yeah, it's telling a story. It's not just promoting, hey, look at me, I'm incredibly successful. This is why I am successful. This is the job that I do, and this is the level of service that I provide from my clients and the information that I'm giving out to any prospective clients and prospective tenants. Like it's all there online, and I'm always available if somebody wants to message me or text me or call me. I'm here to help. And I guess really that's what my page is about. It's if you're thinking about buying an investment, or if you've got an investment that you're unhappy with, give me a call because I'm the person that's here to help you.
Absolutely. And if you're accessible like that, people love that they can talk to you any time of the day or night and that they'll get a response too.
Yes, yeah. I'm pretty quick with my responses.
As I mentioned, we've got some of our readers sent me in some questions that they wanted me to ask you. Are you keen for a few rapid fire questions here?
Yes, fire away.
on all things BDM?
Yes.
Okay. So Lisa, what do you consider your point of difference is in your market when you're coming up against another BDM?
Longevity in my career, certainly. I treat properties as if they're my own. The listed to leased and ongoing property management service, I think it's knowledge around every aspect of what we do as a team and how we can manage that service better than anybody else for you.
Once you've been in the industry for 13 years and 2,000 properties, that's really hard to compete with, yeah.
Definitely.
What do you think are the best referral sources for BDMs right now?
Current landlords, people that have experienced the level of service that you provide. Word of mouth is certainly a big part of my referral network. And then also I work really closely with our sales team. They have an opportunity to refer their properties to anybody, but knowing that they have confidence to refer them to me and the property management team is invaluable.
Yeah, so you work tightly with them.
I work really closely with them. And also, I mean, they're selling a lot of investment properties and it's also working hand in hand with them to do videos and going back to social media to do videos and talk to any potential investors that they're working with. We do very much work as a team. You know, we're two separate departments, but we are highly connected and being able to have that connection with them and instilling, you know, they've got my trust and I've got theirs. So we work really well together. So they refer me a lot of business, which I'm very grateful for.
That's amazing. Actually, that leads into my next question. What's the tip for building trust quickly, whether it's with a member of the sales team or with a prospect? Like, what is your key way to building trust, do you think, with those people?
If you're selling a service, you have to deliver on that service. It's pointless me saying I can do X, Y, and Z and not deliver on it. So I give them a strategy from listed to leased. Every investor is very different, so you've got to work with everybody differently, and then delivering on that service. And it's putting them at ease as well. Buying an investment, if you're a first-time investor or if you've got a huge portfolio of properties, you want to make sure that you're engaging with somebody that has your best possible interests. And I think I can build rapport and trust pretty quickly because of my knowledge and the fact that I believe in what I sell, and I'm confident that we will get them the result that they require.
Brilliant. If it was day one again for you as a BDM, what would you do differently knowing what you know now?
Off the top of my head, what I would do differently, it's hard to say. I'm not sure. I'm very happy with the way things have gone. I don't know how I can answer that question. I mean, there's mistakes have certainly been made along the way, but I think we all learn and grow from those mistakes. So I'm pretty comfortable with how my career has tracked so far.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your one daily non-negotiable?
Get back to everybody. Eat the frog, do those terrible calls that you need to make sometimes. straight away in the morning. I never finish work unless I've got back to everybody. That's my personal non-negotiable. It just makes me feel more comfortable knowing that I've responded to everybody. All my landlords are aware of where their current properties are in the leasing process, and everything has been ticked off.
If I was a property manager and I was listening to this thinking I wouldn't mind, exploring this BDM thing a little bit more, what would you suggest to me would be my first steps?
Your first steps would need to be, I would say, shadow me for a couple of days if you were working in my team, or shadow the BDM in your office. Ask lots of questions. You ultimately are a sales agent working in the rental sector, so you have to have that confidence to be able to go out and sell. And I know that not every property manager, that's they're going to be their strength. I mean, I certainly couldn't be a property manager myself. That role is, it wouldn't be my comfort zone. I'm a sales agent for rentals. So I think from a property manager that wants to make that next step, they have to first establish if they are going to be a competent sales agent.
Mm. And that's the way you need to think of yourself too, is I'm in sales. It's just different. Yeah. So let's just say you lease a lot of properties in a week. There's some sort of an influx going on. This is a bit of a workflow question, actually. How do you make sure that it doesn't cause a bit of a bottleneck? Because if you get a lot of managements, then obviously you've got to get them leased before you can start earning any income on them. So what's your tip for smoothing that out?
I work with really good systems. So I work with a listed to lease document that myself and the team have put together. So we work very much as a team, so everything flows. And we use a lot of platforms as well, such as Rex and Inspect Real Estate, that makes things really streamlined. So it's not a 9-to-5 job. We just have to stay later if there's more work to do. But every property gets open 2 to 3 times a week. These are all sort of non-negotiables, whether you've got 10 properties or 30 properties available for rent. It probably comes from a level of experience that for me, if there's a bottleneck of properties, everything, it just gets done. We work as a team as well. There's administration assistants, there's leasing agents, there's property managers, exit and entry report people. It all very much is a team effort.
It sounds like a lot of checklists too.
There's a lot of checklists, but it makes us compliant and it makes us all accountable. And that is really, really important. So there's no room for error. I mean, of course, there is human error from time to time, but if there's anything that's ever missed, we go back to that checklist.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is an interesting question. If you're ever having a bad day or getting a few no's, what do you do to re-motivate yourself or pick yourself up again?
Exercise.
Yeah.
That's really important. So I try and do 4 to 6 sessions a week, whether it's walking or F45 or Pilates. It really clears my head. Sets you up for the day as well. And also if you're doing it in the evening, it kind of calms you down to set you up for the next day. But that's really important to me.
Yeah. Apart from social media, is there any other prospecting methods that you'd recommend for BDMs?
Yeah, absolutely. Pick up the phone. That is the biggest prospecting tool that you can use. Pick up the phone, network with as many people that you possibly can. Traditional forms of marketing are still valid. So your DL flyers, your just leased letters, engage with your local community. Just speak to as many people as possible. And I would say if you're just starting out and you've got a sales team in your office, go and talk to those sales team and ask to who they've spoken to that they've identified as an investor. They may not buy through your agency, but they will be looking to buy an investment through somebody, and it would be better that you brought on that investment. So just pick up the phone, have as many conversations as you can, and be as helpful as you can to as many people, because people will remember that and they will then refer you business.
Yeah, so again, it's that sales mentality of I've just found myself someone who is an investor who's looking at buying an investment property, and then giving them some valuable information on what to look for.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a property manager or something.
And then when you have made that connection, it is just like sales, you keep following them up.
Yeah.
Ask for the business, never be afraid to ask for the business.
That's a question I've got, actually. If you've got an investor that's on the fence, you've presented to them, you've put your best foot forward, how do you get them to get off the fence if they're still sort of weighing up between you and someone else?
I always ask the question, is there any reason why we can't sign this paperwork today? I have a 97% success rate of signing up business if I am in front of them, because there's nothing that I miss. Like, my presentation is pretty disciplined. I ultimately want to get them the best result. It's not, I think early on in my career, it was all about numbers. I needed to list absolutely everything, but I guess I have a luxury now of being able to pick and choose the landlords that I ultimately want the team to work with, because that's really important that we have quality properties, quality people that we work with.
Absolutely. So you've walked away from listings before?
Yes, because we run a 100% compliant department here, and it's in my best interest and the company's that we are working with properties that are well maintained and with landlords that are willing to get maintenance done, especially around legislation and compliance. I mean, it's a non-negotiable.
Are there any questions that you might ask that would flag to you whether that particular landlord was a bit of a red flag or something like that?
I'm not a building and pest inspector, but if I'm physically in the property and they're there, then I'll have conversations around maintenance that I can see that needs to be addressed, things like black mold on the ceiling, or if I feel that a balustrade is below legislation height restriction requirements, I'll bring all of that up. And if there is pushback there from them wanting to fix that maintenance, then that is a red flag that they're not going to want to spend the money down the track. I mean, I'm a property investor myself, and my oven just broke. And I'm going to have to buy a brand new oven. And I'm kind of a bit disappointed about that because it's really expensive. But, you know, you have to provide an oven to your tenants and you have to keep maintaining your property and investing back into your property, especially if you want to get a solid rental return and keep getting that return for years to come. So it's really, really important that landlords are willing to reinvest into their investment. We'll bring the property on, and then it's a pain for my property manager when the tenant is ringing to complain about maintenance and the landlord is unwilling to fix things. It, you know, that takes up a lot of time and effort in their day, which could be utilized in other areas, not chasing people that we're never going to get a result from.
Yeah, absolutely. So to anyone listening who's a BDM, you shouldn't be afraid to walk away from something.
Definitely not. Like, as I said, early on in my career, I would list everything. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, yeah. What does the next 12 months look like for you?
My next goal is to increase the volume of properties that we list through guiding and mentoring Matthew and Mark, who form part of our leasing team. So I'm incredibly lucky that they are part of our team. That the moment their role is to lease the relets, but I really want them to grow into the BDM space. There's great opportunity for them. And under my leadership and mentorship, I really am excited about what we can achieve in the next 12 months. So we've set some pretty strong goals. We've got our monthly, weekly, and yearly business plan that we work towards. So we'll just see what happens. I mean, what are we now? 2 weeks into the new financial year, we're definitely on track in the first 14 days for what we want to achieve for the first quarter.
That's amazing, especially in these tricky times.
Yes, yeah, it is. And I think as well, when we go back to COVID, it's been very positive for the Place Property Management Department, because we have been forefront leaders in getting that information out to our landlords and tenants to make sure that everybody's interests are protected and to make sure that they are fully aware of their rights, fully aware of legislation and all the changes, because at one stage things were changing on a daily basis and people were unsure about where they stood and unsure about, you know, the right forms and documents to get out to people. And I think that has really helped us, because we did a lot of live webinars to landlords and invited people outside of Place Property Management to join that. It's allowed us to bring on a lot more business, because we are seen to be thought leaders and on the ball with current changes. I think the only changes that I can see right now is probably the apprehension of new landlords coming into the market, because people are unsure of what the future does hold. But I can certainly say that the Brisbane rentals market at the moment in inner city Brisbane, for my specific demographic, is flourishing. Like, prices are strong, inquiry is strong, things are moving. So I'm excited to see where we will be in the next 12 months.
Well, definitely Brisbane would be a great place to be right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, the borders, we're free to move around the state. The sun is shining. We're very fortunate here in Queensland.
Yeah.
And the city is growing. I mean, we've just opened our second runway. We've got this huge new complex and casino going in, new Cross River Rail. There's a lot of infrastructure that's in process and in progress at the moment in the city. And I think it's much more affordable still to buy here than it is in the southern states. So lots of opportunity for investors.
Yeah, absolutely. Lisa, it's been fantastic talking to you today, finally. Like, you know, we've been looking forward to talking to you for quite some time. If there was one thing that you'd like to leave the audience with, one piece of advice or tip or something like that, what would it be?
Don't forget to follow everybody up, because I can guarantee that your competitors probably aren't. In terms of a prospecting tip, and just deliver. I love what I do, and I think that, you know, that engages well with my landlords. They can see that I genuinely love what I do and I am going to do a good job for them. And I think if you've got that passion and that drive, then you're going to be successful. It's a great career, and I think you can really make it your own, and you can have a long-term career in business development. There's so much opportunity out there, and there's no ceiling on where you can take it.
Lisa Peraza, thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate, with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts. Visit eliteagentelevate.com.